So I think between the three campuses, I think we had 80 to 81 people baptized last week. So yeah, it's all good. And then we got members this week. And so I believe they're all at the Beckers are out of town, but Joyce and Jarek and Jessica, Eric and Billy, I believe they're all at the 9 o'clock service. So you missed them standing up and greeting everybody, and we had to come down here and do push-ups. It's just something we do. It's just kind of a weird thing, but that's what we do. Next week we've got Mother's Day, and so Matt told me I can't tell the same joke that he told about Mother's Day. So I guess he said, you know, you got to invite your kids. Kids can't say no to mom. I said it funnier than he did, but I'm not going to, use. You guys didn't even hear him say it, did you? Matt gets up here, does the announcements, and you guys just completely check out. You have no clue what Matt was talking about, do you? I'll have to tell him that later, make him feel bad. But. We also got, Mother's Day. So, moms, be here. Families, be here to support your mom. And moms, invite your kids. So we got parent-child dedication on top of that. And also a little something special for moms. A couple things special for mom. I want to thank Jason, who was up here last week. Gave me a little bit of a break from Easter, and appreciate him talking about work in the sense of representing Christ and making an impact for Christ as he's our boss. And so whether you're got a job or you're working at home or if you are volunteering somewhere, schoolwork, retired, all that kind of stuff. And let me just tell you a story real quick. So we do this, we have this what we call band app. So it allows us to interact with each other. We have a men's ministry band app. And Stan's really good at keeping us up on what's going on at work and praying for him. And he put up there this past week that there was a guy that he had previously worked with years ago and kind of knew and helped out with some stuff, but then didn't see him for a while. And then recently caught up to him and got a chance to talk to him a little bit. And I guess the guy was just mentioning that things weren't going so well. And then they find out 2 or 3 days later that the guy actually committed suicide. And so I think a lot of times what happens is that we get really focused in on us, on what we're doing, what we want to do, and why we're going to work, and why we're interacting with people or not interacting with people. But we have to understand there are people in our lives, where we work, the volunteer places that we go, schools that we go to, moms that we run into, dads that we run into, students that we run into, people are hurting. And we as believers, we who have the answer for their life, can't just kind of hide ourselves from them to not care about what's going on in their lives. And we need to represent Christ. We need to let people know who he is and what he's done in our lives, so they could have a part of that. And so that's why we're doing this series, making sure that we're doing work right. Because a lot of times we do it wrong for the wrong reasons. So if you're a believer here this morning, you'll understand this battle. If you're not a believer, you don't have this battle. But we as believers, we who have placed our faith in Christ, who we've given Christ our life, he's our authority, we're following him. We have a battle inside of us. And the battle is, am I going to do life my way? Am I going to do life in order to fulfill what I want and the purposes that I have and the goals that I have? Or as a follower of Jesus Christ, am I going to do life God's way, the way God says it, for his purposes to accomplish what he wants to do in my life? And so because there's that battle for our lives, there's also the battle as it pertains to our work, our purpose for working, why it is that we go in every day, or why is it that we spend time, we say stay-at-home moms, but, moms are actually running the home business, right? Man, if it wasn't for Kim and her making sure everything is operating in the house, and that was a huge business that she had going. I mean, I was making buku bucks. She had a lot of money. No, I'm just kidding. Nope. So, moms working at home, dads who are working at home, students, all that kind of stuff. So there's two ways of thinking. There's the human way of thinking about work, and then there's God's way on how to to do life or to do work. And so here's the human thinking, that we work to make money so we provide for our needs, our wants, and our retirement. I always throw retirement up there because, man, people are constantly talking about retirement and saving for retirement, make sure they have a good retirement, and they got everything kind of planned for retirement. And so here's how this thinking then plays out in our lives. Again, I'm just looking back over my life. I'm looking back over people who have come in and talked to me as, you know, as a pastor and family and friends. First of all, with this thinking, it's my job that dictates my schedule, the schedule of my family. It dictates my decisions. It dictates what my priorities are. And so you'll hear people say this all the time, I don't have time to spend with God. Why? Well, I got to work. Or I don't have time to spend with my wife and work on my relationship with my wife. Why? Well, I got to work. Or I don't have time to spend time with my husband. Why? Because I got to work. I don't have time to spend with my kids' events or family events. Why? Because I got to work. Pastor, I can't be at church. Why? Well, I got to work. The job dictates. The job is the priority setter. And then when people are saying, well, hey, man, bills are building up. They're piling up. Not sure if I'm going to be able to afford all the bills that I have. So you start talking to them, well, I can't cut out that. I can't cut out that. I can't cut out that, which are all wants. I can't cut out the wants because I need those. I need my wants. And no matter what distress it brings to our life or to our marriage or to our family or to our church family, the thought is, well, I just got to go find a better job, a better paying job. I need to go get a second job. I need to have my spouse go and work. Why? Well, because we need to. Then there's a potential for a better paying job or promotion comes up, which is awesome, right? And so you get that. That's a no-brainer. Because if it's a better paying job, who cares what it is? And if it's a promotion with a better pay, it's a no-brainer. You take it. Even if it's not good for you, not good for your marriage, not good for your kids, not good for your church family, you take it. Why? Well, because my job is where I get paid money, and my money pays for my bills. Where does that thinking come from? That comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now, if you're familiar with Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 is where Satan approaches Eve. Now, he doesn't approach Adam because Adam's already been given the how to do life God's way. Eve hadn't. Adam was supposed to give it to Eve, and we don't know how that went. But Satan comes to Eve, and he puts into Eve's mind a doubt about God, about his goodness, about his plan, about whether what God says he'll do, he'll actually do. In fact, he even says, kind of has this idea that God's holding back. There's something good that you'd be more like God if he would let you do this, but he's not going to let you do that. He doesn't want you to be like God. So he's going to withhold evil from you. So Eve, along with Adam, then decide to eat of the fruit that God said, don't eat of that. Don't eat of that. But they had a doubt put into their mind about who God was and what God desired and how good God was. And they thought, hey, I want to do life my way. And so, because of that, we can kind of summarize working this way. We worship our work thinking it is what provides for our needs, wants, and retirement. Every unbeliever that you're working with, and sadly, a bunch of believers, think this way. This is the first, in fact, so much so that there's no other possibility of thinking any other way. It's all about the job. It's all about making the money. It's all about accomplishing whatever it is that we want to accomplish in our lives. But what's God's thinking on it? Like everything else in life, again, we believe God created everything. And so like everything he's created, he created it for a purpose. He created it with a plan. He created it for us to find in that him, in a sense of getting to know him better, and then from him, us knowing him better, to experience the peace that he's provided and the safety and the and provision. And so we could summarize this way when it comes to work, God's thinking. We don't worship our work. We worship God in our work, and then he provides for our needs. And so how this works out, that God dictates my and my family's schedule. God dictates our decisions. God dictates our priorities. We do the things that God says are our priorities. We spend, we work hard to spend time with him. We work on our relationship with our spouses. We work on our relationships with our kids. We spend time with our church family. We work as if, as Jason talked about last week, as if God is our boss, because he is. And then he provides. So, bills piling up. Well, which sometimes they do, especially if we have more wants than we need, bills will begin to pile up. Well, the way we would do that is we prayerfully and biblically look at those things that we have, that we put bills, put money into. I'd say you're looking at a checkbook, but I don't think too many. We look at our credit card statement, whatever, our bank statement, and we say, okay, what are wants? What are the things that I want in my life that don't help me accomplish what God wants me to accomplish, what God wants to do in and through me? And if those things are in the way, especially if they cost money, you axe those. You sacrifice those. Because you don't need them in order for God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in and through you. Now, the great thing about God, and we'll see this as we look into Genesis, a lot of times he even gives us what we want. He's good that way. But we can't want something at the expense of doing life his way. The potential for a better paying job or a promotion, where it used to be a no-brainer. You take it, there's more money. I don't care how it impacts me, negatively or not, I'm going to take it. Well, here we have to start asking questions, prayerfully considering, what's the impact on my relationship with God? What's the impact of my relationship with my spouse, with my kids, with my church family? And you may be wondering, Harold, why do you keep throwing church family in there? Because we're a family, spiritual family. By the way, we're a spiritual family that we're going to spend eternity together. You have some family who don't know Christ, and Lord willing, they'll come to know Christ, spending eternity with them. But you get to spend eternity with me. Think about that, huh? Hey, don't leave. So we look at how does this impact? And if you know you and your spouse and your kids are like, yeah, no, it works, take it. But if not, and be honest about it. Why? Because God will provide. God's got a plan. He's working his plan out in your life. Not your plan for your life, his plan for your life. Where does this thinking come from? Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2, where God had created Adam. Before that, he created everything that Adam could possibly need. In fact, he had no wants, because he was perfect. So everything was about God, and everything was, he was in right relationship with God. He trusted God. It was only after Satan jumps into the picture, and they have to put their free will to the test. Everything's perfect. They're trusting. He's trusting God. And initially, when Eve was created. But they lived in God's peace. They were at peace with God. They lived in his peace. They lived in his safety. They lived in his provision. Here's how that plays out. It says this, Genesis chapter 1, then God, again on the sixth day, said, let us, and this first indication that there is the doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because that word, let us, Elohim, is a plural. Make man in our image. It means a model. It's an example of the actual. It is not the actual. We are not God, but we are an example. We're a model of Him, which is kind of interesting. According to our likeness, it means be similar to, not exactly like God. We're not exactly like God, but we're similar to. How is that? Well, God has created us with the attributes of personhood. We're like no other creation. No other created being is like us. We can think. We can reason, like work through problems, solve problems. We can communicate. We have emotion. We can do all these things. Why? Because that's how God is. God is person. And so He has all those things. We have those things. He's perfect. We're no longer perfect. But we can still have a relationship with Him. We can communicate with Him. There can be emotion within our relationship with Him. Moving on. And let them rule over or manage. So govern like God governs. Now God governs everything, from the universe all the way down to us. We get to manage what He gives us. In this case, the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Little bugs. We have managed them. Anyways, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So in other words, have kids who have kids who have kids. Let's just pack this earth out with people. It's good to have people on this earth, as opposed to some people's thinking that we should have not as many people on this earth. And subdue it. It has this idea of overcome and conquer. So it's as if God's foreshadowing that there's going to be something that's going to happen to creation to cause man to have to kind of work to keep things under control. And rule over or manage the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the... And so here's the first reason why we should be worshiping God in our work. And that's this. He's created us to know Him. So again, He's created us in His image. We're created like Him. We are not Him, but we are created like Him. We're like no other created being that He's ever created. And He created us that way so that we could know Him, that we could have a relationship with Him. And so then we get to know Him through managing what He's given us. And we're going to talk a little bit more of that in Genesis chapter 2, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it now. And then we know Him as we manage what He's given us the way He says to manage. If someone says you want to really know somebody, is to walk in their shoes, right? So you really want to know God, then do what He does and why He does it. And then you'll get to know Him better. It's kind of like this. Raising kids, right? And so raising kids can be frustrating. Raising kids can be difficult. Raising kids can be joyful. It can be awesome. And usually it's all of that, right? Well, we get to know God a little bit that way. Why? Because He's got to deal with you and me. We're frustrating. It's difficult for Him. Not really, He's all powerful. But, I mean, the number of times where if God had a hand, He'd just go, Harold, why do you keep making that same stupid choice? Right? But what, doesn't that kind of let us know who He is and how He is and why He is? How we respond to our kids, if we respond to our kids the way God responds to us, we begin to see in our kids what God says will happen with our kids. And that is that they'll be more than likely turning towards Him. And so we get to see Him at work within us doing it the way God wants us to do it. We get to know Him. Well, then God has Moses. Moses is the one who wrote Genesis. And so He has him get a little bit more specific. He goes into Genesis chapter 2. And so we kind of get an overview in chapter 1, but in chapter 2 He goes a little bit more specific. And He says this. Then, again, talk about the sixth day. The Lord God, which is Yahweh, so it's a self-existing, infinitely powerful, personal God, formed man of the dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, unlike any other created being. God didn't breathe into a bovine the breath of life. Not in the sense of what he's done for humans. He's given us a soul. He's given us spirit. He's given us the, and for Adam, to be in relationship with God. And for us, to have our sins forgiven, the spirit that had died because of Adam's decision can be given life again through the Holy Spirit. And we can have a relationship. Dogs can't. Cats can't. I know. I'm sorry. Fish can't. Ferrets can't. All right. Moving on. The Lord God planted a garden. It was full of trees as we kind of read this. So it's more like an orchard. Toward the east in Eden, there he placed, and this is an important word, and I need to apologize. So I've taught on this passage a lot, and I've also done marriage counseling. We use this passage a lot. And I reversed the meaning. So there's the word placed here in verse 8, and there's going to be the word put in verse 15 that we'll see. And I've reversed those in the past, and I don't know why I did, it just did, and so as I'm restudying the passage, it's hit me, I'm like, oh, I messed that up. But this is a very important word. And there he placed. That means, has the idea of placing something with purpose. Like, so this was placed here, I placed it there for a purpose. What's the purpose? To do that. All right? So God placed Adam, and Adam's our representative, so he places us in this world for his purpose. Now, throughout the Old Testament, this word refers to something being placed somewhere to experience God's peace and safety and provision. So as the readers of Genesis, the original audience who read it after Moses wrote it, that's what they're thinking when they're reading this, because everywhere else in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it meant that. So that, oh, Adam was placed in the garden for a purpose to experience God's peace, safety, and provision. Again, the man who he formed. So he threw them, put them in, placed them in there. Out of the ground, the Lord God. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God, not man, caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. Every tree has this idea that there's multiple different kinds of trees. God could have just planted a pear tree. He didn't. Why? Because he's a good God. He loves variety. I mean, look around the room. And so he wants us to enjoy the variety, sadly, of fruit. I suppose if I was perfect, I'd really enjoy fruit. I have an apple almost every Sunday morning. Every day, actually, I have an apple. But he provides more than we need. Why? Because he's a good God. He wants us to have variety. He wants us to look at the variety and say, man, we have got a good God. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we know about those two trees, and we're not going to necessarily address those this morning. But then we jump down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. So what was God's purpose? Going back to verse 8, to cultivate, which means, and again, it's used in the Old Testament this way, from this point forward, to work, to serve, or to worship. It's interchangeable. And to keep it, which has the idea of a guard standing, or a soldier standing guard at his post. Now again, foreshadowing, most likely, that there's going to be sin. There's going to be something that Adam needs to protect the garden from. And so since Adam is our representative, we get some things from this passage. First of all, God created us to worship in our work. So our work is worship. Now, I say that, but I'll guarantee you, everybody, as you get up and go to work tomorrow, or get up and do the stuff around the house, or go to school, or you guys who are, you know, people who are retired and do whatever it is that you do with your time, I'll guarantee you, I'll be in Texas, by the way, at a conference, and I'll try to remember this, but I'll guarantee it's going to be hard to remember that this is for worship. That I get to go and worship God. It's another worship service. I don't have to wait till Sunday to have a worship service. My entire day is a worship service. None of us think that way. I mean, let's be honest, right? I know I don't, and I'm the pastor. You know, I should be having this all nailed down. But God provided, so let's kind of work through this real quickly. So God provided for Adam before he ever created Adam. Now, you might be thinking, that's kind of obvious, Captain Obvious. Might be, but it didn't really hit me until this week as I was going through it. Adam had everything there. It was already there before Adam was created. Now remember, he's our representative. We have everything we need already. He got it as we obey. He just needed to cultivate and keep. He just needed to do what God said. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But see, we mistakenly think, again, I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. We mistakenly think that what my life is me. I did this. I got this. It's my house, my job, my car, my kids, my clothes, my this, that, the other thing, my, me, I. All of that, we've talked about this before, all of this, God's allowing. God allowed me to be born. I didn't do anything to be born. God allowed me to be born. God gave me the intellect that I have. Now, I was supposed to work on that and maybe become a little bit more smarter, and some of you guys are thinking, boy, I wish you would, but he's given me my skill set. Same for you. He's allowed me to have a job that actually paid some money, that allowed me to buy the things. He allowed me to interact with Kim and gave me free will to whether to ask her to marry me or not, and for her to have free will to marry me or not. That's all God. In reality, everything is God allowing us to do. And so like Adam, God places us in our garden, in our world, in our families, in our jobs, in our extended families, in our communities. Just like he placed Adam in his garden. And he did it with a purpose. He did it for a purpose. This word, summa, it's only used here, and then the other times it's used in the Old Testament, it's only used about Israel being placed in the promised land, where God said, if you do life my way, I will provide for you. It's also used about the furniture and items that go into the temple. So they place these things in the temple for God's purpose. Why? What was the purpose there? To help people worship God. What was Adam then designed to do? What was his job description? What's our job description? Well, to cultivate and to keep. Cultivate, key word. As I said before, it means to work. It means to serve. Throughout the Old Testament, it carries the idea of worshiping God. The word that God uses here, he also has used in Exodus chapter 3, where God said, when I rescue Israel out of slavery from Egypt, they will come and they will abad me, worship me at the mountain. To work the way God wants us to work, to obey him in our work, is to worship God. Ascribing worth to something. And we're saying God is more worthy than anything else. And then he's supposed to keep, which means to watch, to protect, to guard. And again, for Adam, at this point, it's foreshadowing to the future that there's going to be something he's going to have to protect. Eventually Eve, because he didn't know about Eve at this point. It's just him. And so here's something that he was going to have to protect from. He's not really sure what that is. And maybe if he would kind of think about what that was when Satan showed up and had already kind of deceived Eve, oh, this is what he was talking about. This is what I needed to protect. He needed to protect Eve and creation from the sin of thinking that they are God and God is not. They need to protect Eve and his garden, what God has given him, from the lie that God is not good, that God won't provide, that God is withholding something from us. But as long as Adam obeyed God, putting this all together, place, cultivate, keep, as long as Adam obeyed God by protecting the garden from sin, he'd experience God's rest and safety and provision. Now, it's true, Adam and Eve sinned. They broke their relationship with God by doing that. They became immediately spiritually dead. No more relationship with God. Didn't mean that God wasn't there. He comes to the garden looking for him. It means eventually they would die physically. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that God's promise of meeting our needs, providing for us when we obey him, nowhere in the Bible does it say that that ever stopped. Sin makes us think it stopped. So we have to provide for ourselves. What sin ended up doing, for a couple things, is for the woman, it caused the woman to have physical pain and emotional distress in childbearing. Some of you ladies know what that is. It also caused her to want her husband's leadership in the home. Now, some of the people don't like hearing that, but God created Adam first. We don't know why. He just chose to create a guy first. He could have created a woman first. He could have created something else and called it whatever he wanted to call it. He didn't. He created what he calls man, Adam. He gave Adam all the information about how he was supposed to live life. It was his responsibility to feed that to Eve, and therefore he is a spiritual leader in his home. And we see in Scripture, spiritual leaders in churches, those who qualify. And so she wanted that case. Well, one, because she was selfish. But two, because of what happened to man because of sin. It says that man would toil. Toil is the same as pain. So now man's responsibility to go get the food, provide, you know, get the food out of the ground that God had already provided, it would cause him physical pain and emotional distress. Two different English words, same Hebrew word, which would cause him to be out of the house longer. So you got this vicious circle going. Why? Because Adam and Eve, who used to be other-focused, are now self-focused. It's all about them, what they want, what they think is important, how they think they should do life. All of that makes life more difficult, marriage more difficult, work more difficult. But God's plan of promising to meet our needs if we obey, that's still happening. That never went away. How do I know that? Well, the God who designed that is the God who said this when he was on earth in Matthew. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? How will I meet my needs? I don't know how I'm going to meet my needs. Work, this, bills. I don't know how to. It's going to be like me on the airplane today. You know, get me off this thing. For the Gentiles, unbelievers, eagerly seek. They crave this. They are consumed with, how am I going to meet my needs? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I love how Jesus says this. Heavenly Father, not God, not even Lord. Father. Why? Because God's a good Father. He knows what we need. He knows what we're going to need to accomplish whatever it is he wants to do in our lives. Not what we want to do in our lives. What he wants to do in our lives. But, so because God knows what you need for life, that the life he has for you, as you go to work, seek first his kingdom. What's that mean? Expand his kingdom. What's that mean? People coming to faith in Christ. That's why you go to work. Seek first. Seek that first. Go to work for that reason first. What's the other first? His righteousness. In other words, work hard. Be honest. Be loyal. Be on time. Accomplish your job description and then some. And if we trust God, doing it that way, here's the promise. And all these things, our needs, will be added to you. That's interesting. Added to you. What's that talking about? You already have all your needs met if you just obey God. And by the way, if there's any other needs that you need to have met in order to do life God's way, they're covered too. What a great promise. What an awesome promise. So, what are our takeaways? First of all, a question for you to ponder. Talk about over lunch. What's your purpose in your job? In other words, whose kingdom are you building? Are you going to work to build your kingdom? To get your stuff? To have all that you want? Or are you going to work to build God's kingdom? To represent Christ? Listen, if you're building God's kingdom, your financial decisions will become much clearer. Because there's a bunch of wants you can just toss. A bunch of stuff that you used to worry about how you're going to take care of it, toss it. Less things to worry about. Why? Because it's not about going to work to make money to buy the stuff I want. It's about going to work to represent Christ, to build his kingdom, to live the way he wants us. Are you cultivating what God has given you to him? And if you are, then the frustrations of life and work are easier to deal with. Why? Because you know that God's working in that. When you go through a frustrating situation with a boss or with a employee or a coworker, you're like, oh, I'm here to represent Christ, so therefore I need to respond to that person like Christ. So now this is no longer a frustration situation. This is a worship situation where I get to represent Christ. And I can be kind to that person. And I can help that person. And thirdly, are you keeping what God's giving you? Are you keeping it? In other words, are you protecting it? Men, first and foremost, who are believers, are you protecting your family from the lie that God won't provide if we do it his way? Well, you say, oh, yeah, I don't know. Well, let me ask you, why are you going to work? Are you going to work to provide for what you want? Because everybody knows you are. If you are, they're seeing it. You need to protect your spouse if you have one. If you have kids, grandkids, other people, protect them so they don't believe a lie that God won't provide if you do it his way. Do it his way and show them that God does provide. When you do it his way, for his purposes. Let's go ahead and stand and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. Thank you for being here for us and encouraging us and helping us. Lord, this is hard for all of us. We get so caught up in life. So Lord, help us to do life your way, to trust you, to do work your way, to see you provide. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.